All right, good morning again. Appreciate the opportunity, Brother Armacost, and for me to be able to come out this week and meet some young people. And I've been able to meet a handful of you already and have enjoyed those meetings, and I got a few more this afternoon, and grateful for that opportunity. And, you know, at our church, at Heritage Baptist Church, we have about 50 employees in our school and church, and so we have various ministries represented, various colleges, and some good colleges, and we're appreciative of that. But we have a nice little representation there from Fairhaven. And I would say if I could, there are some of our most faithful and hardest working staff members, and I think that speaks well of how you've been trained here, and we sure do appreciate that. And again, we're grateful to meet these folks that we've been able to meet. And again, thank you, Dr. Armacost, for the opportunity to speak in chapel today. So I was preparing for this message, I was thinking back to my college days and that era of my life, and thinking about all the different stress levels. Does anybody ever feel like you're under some stress? It only gets better, guys and girls. I remember talking to my parents several years ago, and I was like, hey, do we ever get a, you know, my dad's 88 now. My mom was 81 when she passed away. So it's probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I said, hey, do we ever get to a level where we're not stressed? And they're like, nope, it only gets better and better and more. And life is full of stresses. And I was thinking about when I was in college, I would stress about grades, about finances, about my relationships, where God was going to call me into ministry. And there certainly were others in college that had greater stresses and difficulties than I did, and some less than I did. I often wonder if those college types of stress got me ready for early marriage stresses, and those got me ready for parenting stresses, and those got me ready for parenting teenager stresses, and so on and so forth. It's like one step after another. And but we've had some difficult and discouraging times through the years. And I know there'll be more to come, but I do want to pause and interject here that I've had far more good than I've had difficult. I've had far more good days, wonderful days, than I've had difficult days. God's been very good to me in my life. He's been faithful and consistent and loving, and I've often said it this way, that if I never received another blessing, another good thing in my life, if I only had difficulties from this point on in my life, I've had far more good than I deserve, far more better than I deserve. If I end up being a pauper the rest of my life and struggling with poor health and all those things, I've still had more than I ever deserved. And so God's been very good to me. But it's not just the things that we go through in our lives. We live in some difficult days. God has called you and brought you into this world at this time, in this era, and it is some difficult and can be some discouraging days. And whether you look at our world and our nation and the direction of things, that can be discouraging and disheartening at times. As I meditated on that one day, I thought of how God helps us overcome those things. Aren't you grateful for the Word of God? God's Word is able to enable us and encourage us. I shared with you last night in the Thursday evening service a special psalm to me, Psalm 61, the first 4 verses. How many of you, you've got a passage of Scripture that's just, you've claimed it as your own? Anybody? What's your favorite, what's that Scripture for you, brother?
Proverbs 3:5-6.
All right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understandings. Yes, sir. Okay. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
1 John 3:1.
Tell me that one again. Ladies, nobody has a favorite passage of Scripture or a good passage? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? All right. Well, if you don't have one, you need one. God's word is such an encouragement and just something to go back to time and time again. I know Psalm 61, 1 through 4. I know the whole thing. But I've gone back just to read it over and over and over again as God has used that. And so we've got God's word. We've got the works of God that encourage us. Again, we could take testimony this day about how God has done some wonderful things in your life, how he has come through time and time again. And it's great for us to remember what God has done. Looking back and seeing the faithfulness of God enables you to walk forward with God and knowing that he has always come through and he will continue to come through. We've got the word of God. You've got the works of God. And then I thought of this. We have the warranty of God, God's promise. John chapter 14. You remember in John chapter 13, Jesus has told his disciples he's getting ready to depart from them. He's getting ready to leave. And they're still not getting it completely. They're still struggling with that. And they're still trying to figure out what this means. And he begins chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Aren't you grateful the Lord's coming back one day? Does this institution, Brother Armcross, teach the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Do you know what that means? That means he could come back today. And Jesus Christ, I could come back at any moment, and I certainly am grateful for that. And so as we go through difficult, discouraging, stressful times, let's remember we have the word of God, you have the works of God, and that we have the warranty of God. Now I want to study a passage of scripture with you today that will go along with those thoughts. In fact, I wanted to see if you could figure out where we're going to be at today. If I were to give a description of this book of the Bible, and I described it as last words, last days. Does that take your mind to any particular book in the Bible? Last words, last days. He's shaking his head there. Where do you think? Not Revelation. That's always the popular choice when I ask that question. Last words, last days. It's an epistle. 2 Timothy, that's correct. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul writes this epistle along with 1 Timothy to this young man named Timothy, his son in the faith, his protege, his disciple. He's mentored Timothy, spent much time with him. And these are, in 2 Timothy, Paul's last recorded words prior to his execution. And he's writing this letter to Timothy, probably his closest human relationship. Now, if you piece together various scriptures, you can get a picture of this, of Timothy. He's young. He's in the ministry. Perhaps he lacks some discipline. He's timid. Lacks some confidence. There's a portion of scripture where Paul encourages Timothy to drink some wine for his stomach's sake. I was reading on that at some point, and someone said this was for medicinal reasons and to help cure an ailing stomach. And perhaps Timothy struggled with ulcers. And perhaps he had that because of the stresses of ministry. He had pastored in Ephesus at one time, and Paul had to send someone to replace him, a man named Tychicus. And some wonder if perhaps ministry was not going well for Timothy while in Ephesus. And so Paul writes this letter perhaps to encourage a discouraged believer. I believe that it's a real possibility that Timothy was discouraged. Paul's in prison. Paul's about ready to be executed. Timothy's having difficulty in various aspects of his life, and perhaps he was struggling with discouragement. There's many encouragements in this book here, in this letter. And even if it's not a real possibility that that's what's going on in Timothy's life, I want you to know this today. Even in the ministry, it's possible to struggle with discouragement, struggle with depression, frustration. I read this stat from November of 2021, not even a year ago, from the Barna Group. And they had surveyed a group of pastors. And I know it would be from probably various denominations and not all independent fundamental Baptists. And maybe the numbers wouldn't be as poor. But of those men that were interviewed and polled on this, 40% of them were considering to quit the ministry completely. Pastors of churches just walking away and leaving that. And the major reason was because of discouragement, depression. So I want us to consider these things today, and I would like to encourage the discouraged during these discouraging days. And bring encouragement to us during these discouraging times. Notice with me chapter number 3. Let's read verses 1 through 13. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Let me pray for a moment, and then I'm going to give you just a few thoughts here this morning, again, on encouraging the discouraged during discouraging days. Father, we love you, and Lord, we're grateful, and I'm grateful to be able to be with these young people today. And Lord, it is my desire, first of all, God, to bring glory to you by what I say and what I do. But Lord, I also desire to be a help to these young people, the administration here at Fairhaven. We're grateful for them, thankful for these young people that have a heart for you, desire to serve you in some fashion. Pray, God, that you would make that clear in their lives. And Lord, as my thoughts are today on this stresses and discouragement of life and ministry, may we keep our eyes on you and our thoughts on you, lean on you and depend on you in these days, God. Well, thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We see here in chapter number 3, we're introduced in verse number 1, Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, since the days of Christ and his ascension into heaven, we've been in the last days. We've been looking since that time for his return, anticipating his return, expecting his return, and we are in those last days, and probably a more accurate way of saying it today, we are in the last of the last days. We are getting towards the end of this, we believe. We believe, again, that the Lord could come back at any moment. And so Paul describes these days as perilous times. That word perilous is the idea of difficult, dangerous, hard times. And then he goes on to describe them using 19 different examples in verses 2 through 5. We won't go through all 19 of those things, but just reading a handful of them, you can tell that these are days that we would see around us, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, on and on and on, and we could see those things prevalent around us. As you continue to read through this passage of Scripture, He concludes it in verse number 13, telling us that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I'm 50, almost 52 years old, and in my lifetime, growing up in the 70s and the 80s, I can remember my dad talking about how bad it was during those days compared to his growing up in the 40s and the 50s. And here now I can tell you today, it's getting worse and worse. We see it generation by generation. We see it decade by decade, year by year, things getting worse and worse, just like the scriptures said they would. We live in a wicked world where it's going to continue to get more and more wicked. You ever have to be a part of something that you knew was going to eventually blow up? Several years ago, my wife and I and our boys were young then. I was serving in Pennsylvania, and we had gone back to New Hampshire where I had been a youth pastor for 8 years, and I had preached a graduation service there and for their Christian school and had spent some time with them there, had preached on that Sunday, and had a good visit, and we were on our way back. It was about an 8-hour, 10-hour drive, if I recall, there from where we were at in New Hampshire to where we were going. And about an hour into it, a belt broke on my car. And so we pulled over, and I got into a garage on a Monday morning. I was in Worcester, Massachusetts, and pulled in there, and a guy came out. He happened to be a Muslim mechanic, a Muslim garage, and I thought, how's this going to go? And it went well. They were very good to me and kind and gracious, and he says, listen, he goes, you've got a pulley in here it's seized up, and he goes, I can divert around that one and get you a belt and get you home. He goes, I can't get this part you need for several days, but I can get this diverted and get you home, but you've got another one that's ready to go any moment. And he goes, when that one goes, the car's, you're stuck. You can't drive it any further. And I was like, oh, and I had a deadline, and I'm trying to think, do I just wait here for a couple of days and let this guy fix it, or do I take the chance and drive all the way home? And so we decided to drive all the way home. And he says, you can drive home, but you can't use your air conditioner. And he goes, it could go at any moment. So we take off, got the windows all down, driving down the highway, and you can hear this pulley there from one of the other parts, and they're just squealing as loud as it can as we're driving down the road. We drive by people, and they'd be looking at, what was that? And we'd wave at them, and that was just, it was a long, long, miserable trip. 8, 9, 10 hours, I don't remember what it is. At any moment, it could have went. We got all the way home. I pulled into our driveway about 9 o'clock. I had a man in our church that worked he's a diesel mechanic, and he worked at a garage in the night shift. And I called him, and I said, what's going on? He goes, bring it down here. Let me look at it. I pulled into his place there. He's looking at it, and it blew up right then. It was done. It quit working. It seized up. And he says, preacher, you'll never be a part of a greater miracle than this. He opened up that thing. There was bearings and parts shredded everywhere. It was a mess. And we knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. I look at our world today. This thing's going to blow up one of these days. It can't keep going the direction it's going. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen one of these days. That's the type of world we live in. And sometimes I can look at that, I can look at our politics, I can look at our economy and the direction we're headed, and I can get frustrated, I can get aggravated, I can get discouraged. So what do? Well, that's what Paul is just kind of drawing out for Timothy here. He's given him a very bleak picture of what life in the last days looks like. And what does Paul tell Timothy to do? Notice with me in verse number 14. After saying all those things, he gets to verse number 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Please take note of that word, continue. Continue thou. That word continue means to remain. It means to abide. comes from a Greek word that's used 120 times in our Bible. And it's not always translated as continue. But when you hear these other words that it's translated into, it gives you the same idea. It's translated into abide, remain, tarry, dwell, endure. We could say this, the word continue is the opposite of quitting. Those 38, 40% of preachers that wanted to quit, depressed, discouraged. The Word of God tells them to continue on, to keep going, to tarry, to remain. You may be in your second, third year of college. I think every year of college, at some point, I wanted to quit. Even my senior year, I think there was a time I wanted to quit my senior. I was almost done. And I could reason in my mind and come up with reasons. I'm just done with it. Walk away from it. But the Word of God says continue. Maybe part of a ministry that's frustrating and aggravating, and what do you want to do? You say, I just want to quit. The Word of God says continue, tarry, remain, abide, dwell, endure. Even when we're discouraged, even when we're hurt, even when we're frustrated. And so I want to give you three thoughts to continue in here that we see out of the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and We could draw far more than three thoughts, but I just want to give you three quick thoughts in the next 15 minutes or so. Number one, continue in doctrine. The word doctrine is used 12 or 13 times, I can't remember right now, 12 or 13 times in 1 and 2 Timothy. It's an emphasis that Paul gives to Timothy. In fact, notice a few of these verses with me. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4 in verse number 13. 1 Timothy 4 verse 13, Paul says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Look at chapter 5, verse number 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Over to this second epistle, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." This word doctrine refers to teaching, specifically sound teaching, correct teaching, good teaching. And Paul is reminding Timothy of the importance of sound doctrine, especially in difficult days, especially in these hard days, especially when we're discouraged. Listen, church, young people, college students, high school students, doctrine is premier. Doctrine is of utmost importance. You get wrong in doctrine, you're going to be wrong all over the board. We live in a time of compromisers. We live in a day and an age when people are walking away, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Those are the days you live in. There are churches all around us that a generation ago were preaching the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and today you couldn't find it in there anywhere in their churches or anywhere in their teachings. You're living in a day and an age where we must continue in doctrine. You are receiving a great education here. You're learning pure, good doctrine. Take that with you and teach it and preach it. Continue in doctrine. You need doctrine. You need the truth. This world needs the truth. It may not be received. It may not be appreciated. but be faithful. Continue in doctrine. Number two, continue in service. Service. Look back to chapter number two of 2 Timothy there. Paul gives Timothy several pictures of areas or individuals of how they would serve. He gives a picture of a soldier in verse number 3. He gives the picture of an athlete in verse number 5. He gives the picture of a farmer in verse number 6. He gives the picture of a workman down in verse number 15. He gives the picture of a servant or a slave down in verse number 24. All of these picturing different examples and different ways of how these individuals and their callings and their lives, and applying that to our Christian life. Young people, this is not a time for us to let up. This is not a time for us to back away. You are in the last 2 minutes of the last quarter, I believe. The Lord's coming back soon. And this is the time to put on the full court press. I grew up outside of Cleveland, Ohio. For that, I've been cursed with liking all Cleveland sports teams. And with that comes many, 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 many heartaches through the years, including last Sunday. The Browns had a 13-point lead with a minute 51 seconds left. And the Browns did what only the Browns could do, let another team beat them, having a 13-point lead with a minute and 51 seconds left. But you know, the other team did not quit. That other team did not give up. That other team put it all out there, completed a ridiculously long pass that should have never happened, but it happened. Getting an onside kick, a desperation, and yet it happened. They did not quit. They continued on. Now, praise the Lord, the Browns won last night. All right, but the idea there again is you're in the last 2 minutes. We've got to continue serving. I appreciate every one of you that believe the Lord's called you into the ministry. I've been in this role now for about 3 years, and it's difficult to find people willing to work, servants, people that feel called to the ministry. It's not just our church that's struggling. It's not just our school that's struggling to find workers. I talk to pastors all over. We can't get enough teachers. We can't get enough staff. I know churches have been looking for youth pastors for years now. I know some churches that have been looking for pastors for years. And if sometimes it's the church's fault, they have higher expectations than they should, or they don't have the right understanding, but oftentimes it's just because we can't find them. And young people, I appreciate your willingness to serve God, and I want to encourage you to continue serving the Lord. By the way, you'll never serve Him out there if you're not serving Him right now. My first pastor, I had a family that wanted to go into the missions. They said they were called into missions. I said, great, let's get busy on that. I said, here's a bus route. Build it. They said, no, pastor, we're called to Canada. I said, you'll never do it in Canada if you won't do it in Pennsylvania. You know what? They petered out in the bus route. I said, okay, let's try something else. And they petered out in that. And they came to me at some point, when are you going to say we can go to Canada? I said, when you can do something here. We'll talk about going to Canada. And so be busy for God now. Grateful to see many of you involved in various aspects of ministry. Keep doing that. Continue in your service. So continue in doctrine. Continue in service. Let me share one more thought with you here. Continue in faith, not fear. Look at chapter number 1, verse number 7. I love this verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This verse has become very special to me over the last few years. I went to Heritage Baptist Church after pastoring for 18 years. I went to Heritage Baptist Church to be an assistant pastor back in the summer of 2019. And so I got there in June of 19. And then in January of 20, the pastor that hired me, he resigned his position. And he left to go work at another Christian college and teach, and believe that's where God wants him. He's doing a great job there. But I went to work for this guy, and he wasn't there. And so I was asked if I would become the interim pastor. And I said, I could do that. I believe that would be God's will. And my thought was I was going to help Heritage Baptist Church kind of deal with a couple of the little transitional issues that were going on. And I'd be there for a few months. I'd take care of that, and I would help them get ready to receive their next pastor, and then God would lead me elsewhere. And that was my complete 100% thoughts, motives. I would be there for a period of time, and then I would move on. And so I began working on things, getting things ready, and dealing with some of the small issues that we had at that time, talking to people. And so the pulpit committee, they came up to me and said, hey, we like how you're dealing with these issues that we've had. Would you consider candidating here? And I said, absolutely not. I would not want to candidate here. I'm not your guy. They said, well, really? I said, and they're like, well, you came here. I said, yeah, to be an assistant pastor. I said, I've pastored little churches before. I said, I've never pastored a church that had several hundred people. And I said, I've never pastored a church that has a large Christian school. I'm not your guy. And they said, would you do us a favor? Would you pray about it through Easter? I said, sure. I said, that's fine. But in my mind, I knew that wasn't God's will. And I wouldn't. I said, that's fine. And so that was in February. And so I began to pray about it. And I was asking God to work in my heart. And then in March of 2020, we had this moment or this event take place. Anybody ever hear about something in March of 2020? Yeah. Ooh, COVID hit. I remember my first Sunday, I looked in the back and I saw somebody with a mask on. I said, what is going on here? And by the next week, things had just gone crazy. And in fact, I had the very first confirmed case. I had a lady call me from our church. Her husband was a colonel in the Marines on the base at Quantico, and she says, you're going to hear it on the news tonight. We've got our first confirmed case, and he was in my husband's office. We're all under quarantine. And I said, quarantine, what's that mean? You know, all these words that we're very familiar with now, I didn't even know what they were talking about. And sure enough, we watched the world news that night, and America has its first confirmed case in Northern Virginia, and it was right there in that office. And so life changed. And so we didn't know what we were doing then, and we, I kind of regret it now, but we closed down, and we went to just virtual services. And that's what we were doing, and I get this, get through Easter doing virtual services, and I went to the pulpit committee, and I said, I just don't think it's God's will, guys, and I'm not gonna candidate. And they said, well, we can't have anybody else in right now. We can't interview. So just keep praying about it. And so that was March. And in April, I talked to a friend of mine that I asked if he would be willing to candidate. And he said he didn't think it would be God's will, but that he would pray about it. And he said this. He goes, I asked God to give me a verse, Mark. Show me his will through a verse. And he goes, I think God may be leading you there. He goes, why don't you pray that God would give you a verse? I said, okay. And I'm trying to think, what kind of verse would I get that tells me that I don't want to go to Heritage Baptist Church? What's God going to show me? And so at that same time, I started doing and preparing for a study of a series of messages. I was the interim pastor. I was preaching all the services. And so I felt led to 2 Timothy. And I was going to preach a series of messages on last words, last days. The last words of Paul speaking about the last days there in chapter number 3. And so I'm reading through this book over and over, all four chapters over and over, just reading through it, getting very familiar. I'm writing out the verses. I'm outlining the book. I'm getting familiar with it. And at the same time, God's been working in my heart and my wife's heart about what God's will is for us. And so one day, we're getting ready for work. I remember I'm putting on my tie. My wife's putting on her earrings, looking in the mirror, and I'm standing behind her across the room, and I'm putting my tie on, and she's looking in the mirror, and we're having this conversation with each other, and we're talking about whether I'm going to put my name in to candidate. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, Rachel, if I'm really honest, I said, the reason I don't want to candidate is because I'm afraid. I said, I'm afraid that it's going to blow up during my tenure as a pastor. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. I'm afraid I'm not going to do something right. I'm just afraid. And when I said that last phrase, I'm just afraid, I then said this, and that's not from God. Because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And then God said in a very loud voice, there's your verse, Mark Carpenter. He didn't say it in a loud voice, but I heard it. I heard in my heart God say, there's your verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so even in these difficult days, and by the way, I did put my name in and was voted in the August of 2020 and have been the pastor since then and have grateful for it. Grateful that God worked in my heart and that I was willing to listen. I'm thrilled to be there. But I had to overcome some fear and live by faith. And in these difficult and trying days that we live in, discouraging, you're going to be struggle with some fear at times. That's not from God. It could be ourselves. It could be our flesh. It could be our circumstances. It could be Satan. And God gives us but of a mind, power and love and of a sound mind. And so I want to encourage you to continue in faith, not fear. So continue in doctrine, continue in service, continue in faith. We really are, I believe, living in these last days. Our race is almost over. In fact, Paul will talk about that there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Notice what he says in verse number 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul says, I finished my race. I was watching a video some time ago of a guy in a race. He's running and he's winning the race. It was a long distance race, so it wasn't a sprint, but he's finishing pretty strong. And he starts waving to the crowd and he starts pausing. And there was a guy behind him that never quit, that never gave up. He was probably 20 yards behind him at one point. And he went as hard as he could. And while this guy's waving to the crowd, this guy nosed him by just the head, just stretched across there. And you could see the guy that had messed up. You could see the disappointment in his eyes. You could see, I can't believe I just blew this. All by not finishing strong. Young people, I want to encourage you, continue. Continue. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Remain, tarry, endure in these difficult and last days that we live in. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.